The text for this sermon is both the gospel reading, Luke 12, 13 to 21, and Colossians 3, 1 to 11. This is midsummer, literally. And oh, that as in Shakespeare's play, we could be induced to fall in love with the first thing God sets before our eyes. But that's just a dream, isn't it? Some dreams are impossible. The song The Impossible Dream comes from a 1965 musical, and you cannot hear it without thinking it good, right, and beneficial to be self-determined, self-directed, and self-assured. Our gospel text says different. A dream centered on self, based on self, is impossible before God. In the gospel, the rich man believes he can get life, that is the force that powers life, from possessions, from things. Now, don't paint this rich guy as a crook. He was a good farmer or businessman. He could have been a community-minded man belonging to the Lions Club or the Rotary of his day. To be sure, he was greedy, but before men, that isn't usually a bad thing. You don't feel bad towards the people lining up to win millions from the lottery. That's just a game, you say. We don't feel bad towards the sports star holding out for $25 million instead of the $22.5 million he's offered. That's business, we say. That's greed, says the God who says, be content with such things as you have. That's another form of greed, says the God who said, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires. That's a form of greed to beware of, says the God who says, he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. Greed isn't defined in the gospel reading by an amount. No, the greedy person is the one who thinks he can get or add to his life by increasing his possessions. This is the man Jesus calls a fool and who ends up a damned fool. It's an impossible dream that you can get more life from having more things. It's an equally impossible dream to think our souls belong to us to do with what we want when we want to. The rich fool, after he has stated his plan is to tear down his barns and build bigger ones to store his bumper crop, after he says that, he literally says, I will say to my soul, soul, you have much good things laid up for years many. Eat, drink, and make merry. We think we have as much authority and control over our souls as we do, say, over our fingers or arms. We think the link to body and soul is held together by us. We think no one has a claim to our soul any more than in America they have a claim to our bodies. We think to some extent we determine how long body and soul are together. But that is a dream. And an impossible one at that, whether it be dreamt in midsummer or not. When God demands your soul back, you have no choice but to give it up. As the text shows, the rich fool really dreams that he can take it easy, eat, drink, and not die. He dreams, and it is no more substantial than that, his abundance of possessions keep his soul tethered to his body. Years from now, when his possessions begin to run low, maybe then he'll think about dying. But now? No, he'll stick with the impossible dream that having lots of things means he has lots of life, because that dream thrills, that dream exalts, that dream motivates. In A Midsummer Night's Dream, the fairies sprinkle magic dust on a sleeping person's eyes. When he opens his eyes, the first person he lays eyes on, he falls madly in love with. The impish fairy Puck gives a man the head of a donkey. and then sprinkles magic dust on another fairy sleeping next to him. She wakes up to fall madly in love with the donkey-headed man. Now this is where we rich fools are. We're in love with ourselves, our power over our souls, our riches guaranteeing life. What really has happened, though, is the devil, the world, and our own flesh has sprinkled dirt and grime over our eyes so we don't see the long donkey ears sticking out of our impossible dream. A Midsummer Night's Dream is not a tragedy, but a comedy. Eventually, the fairies maneuver everyone to be in love with the right one. And that's our dream, too, on this midsummer day. Dream? No, that's our prayer in several collects of the day throughout the church year. Here are just a few. We pray that God might give us love for himself. We pray that we might love what he commands. We pray that we might have an increase in love. We pray that we might have poured into our hearts love towards God. We pray that he would graft in our hearts the love of his name. God will do such things for us today. He will in turn the impossible dreams churned out by our sinful flesh, dreams wholeheartedly supported by the devil and the world, he'll turn those dreams into dreams that, in the words of Jim Croce, can keep us going these days. In his 1973 song, These Dreams, Croce's dream of getting back together with a lost love keeps him going. Now that's a good dream if the one you lost was a blessing. Now that leads us to the epistle text. Here, Paul tells me, I can dream that I have been raised with Christ. I can seek the things that are above, and I can pay no mind to the things on earth. You're dreaming, the devil, the world, and our flesh say. Look around you. Don't you feel dead as ever in your trespasses and sins? Aren't you tied to this ground as firmly as ever? How can you not set your mind on the things of this earth? There is work to do. There's bills to pay, plans to make and execute. No, the dream that Paul gives me can't be reality. Reality is flesh and blood. Reality is the things of this life. Well, in order to be raised with Christ, you have to have died already. Watch a movie, and there are several, where a person dies and is sure it's a mistake. I have no doubt that when the rich fool stood before the throne of God, he too thought it was a mistake. There was no way he could be dead. He had plenty left to live on for years. He had made plans, you see, finally to pull back on his schedule. And he planned to eat, to drink, and to enjoy himself. Death wasn't in the dreams that he had for his body or soul. In the parable and in those movies, death comes too soon. I want you to leave here today in a dream world, which is God's real one, where you have already died. That's what Paul says. You can seek the things above. Your mind can be set on things above rather than on this fallen earth because you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Have you ever seen those movies where the dead guy comes to terms with the fact that he's dead and he's now a ghost? He has quite a time being a dead guy on earth. He has no more cares for this body or life. Why? Because he's dead. He isn't afraid of dying. Why? Because he's dead already. The things that trouble the person tied to this fallen world don't trouble him. Why? Because he's dead to it. Now push this fictional folktale through to the midsummer day's dream Paul invites you to live. You've got this whole death and dying thing over with already. For many of you, when you were just a baby, and for all of you in baptism, you were buried with Christ. By baptism, you were joined to the death of Christ. The law that accused you and proved you were a sinner was nailed to the cross, and you, the sinner, were nailed right there with it. You went through death and dying on Calvary's cross. But it wasn't you there screaming in pain. It wasn't you there clawing your way away from the flames of hell. It wasn't you upon whom the wrath of God landed till it crushed you like a bug. Have you ever had those awful dreams where you awake to screaming and realize it's you? Well, in this dream, it's not you screaming. It's Jesus screaming in your place. He screamed and screamed and screamed until every last sin of yours and all the sins of all the people that ever have lived or will live were paid for. And when his lifeless body was taken from the cross and buried in the tomb, yours was too. Paul says in Romans that you have been buried with Christ in your baptism. But you share more than the dampness, the mustiness, the deadness of Christ's tomb. You share his life. Remember in the epistle part where Paul starts the dream that keeps us going these days? He starts with, you have been raised with Christ. In Romans 6, Paul puts it this way. Christ has been raised from the dead, never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. In Colossians, Paul says, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Stop looking for your life in your possessions. Stop looking for your life in your health. Stop looking for your life in your age. Stop looking for your life in your success or in your power. Through baptism, you are joined to the resurrected Christ. Your life is hidden in him. It's hidden but not weak. It's hidden but not finite. It's hidden but not lost. Your life is now found where Christ is, in his baptismal waters, which the world counts as nothing more than simple water. Your life is found in Christ's word of absolution, which the world counts as impossible for a man to speak. Your life is found in the body and blood of your Lord, your Savior, and God, which the world counts as nothing but bread and wine. Paul says in Christ, I can dream that I am not subject to the coming wrath of God. My name will not be lost as the rich man's was, who was only addressed by God as a nameless fool. I can dream, and not daydream wishful thinking, but I can dream of a reality that is not yet visible, where my soul will never be demanded of me or torn from me as in some nightmare. No, with Christ on the cross, I've already commended my soul to my Heavenly Father. And I can dream of that day. I get to leave this valley of sorrow. For on that day, those in Christ aren't being torn from their real riches or from that which gives them life. No, they are going home to both. In the 80s TV show Dallas, the questions and dilemmas of a whole season were resolved in the first episode of the following season by having the whole season before be only a dream. You know how relieved you are to awake to find a nightmare a dream. On this midsummer day, wake to find Paul's dream is in Christ, your reality to love. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.